and welcome to Wise Shepherds, the show that brings you closer to the heart of the flock. I'm your host, Teresa, and I'm honored to guide you on this journey of faith. Each week, we'll sit down with local pastors from our community who are dedicated to shepherding their congregations with wisdom and grace. They will share biblical insights, offer spiritual guidance, and help us reflect on our own hearts as we navigate the challenges of triumphs of our Christian walk. Whether you're a longtime believer or just beginning to explore your faith, our goal is to create a space for edification and encouragement. So grab your Bible, pour yourself a cup of coffee, and let's seek the Lord together. This is Wise Shepherds, and we're so glad you're here. Joining us today is Pastor Keith Robinson from Mesa Church, right here in Irvine. You can also catch him on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. for Welcome to the Table.
Hello, this is Pastor Keith Robinson from Mesa Church in Irvine, California. I'm grateful to share a few moments with you today on Wise Shepherds. Our topic today is inheritance. This is not simply the money, the property, or the possessions we may leave behind. Today, I want to talk about the deeper inheritance that we are building every day through our faith, our character, our choices, and the lives we influence. So let me begin with a question. What will remain because you were here? Now, most of us have probably imagined receiving an inheritance. Maybe a distant relative leaves you a house you never knew they owned. Maybe an attorney calls and says, there's been a new development. And suddenly, every financial problem you have is solved. We like the idea of an inheritance because it represents something valuable being placed into our hands, something we did not have to earn entirely for ourselves. But here's a question we may not consider nearly as often. What inheritance are we leaving? Not simply what will be distributed after we die, not just the money, the property, the furniture, the belongings that people will have to sort through after we're gone. Instead, consider, what are we depositing into the lives of the people around us right now? Because whether we realize it or not, all of us are leaving something behind. A way of seeing the world, a way of treating people, a way of responding when life becomes difficult, a pattern of faith, or perhaps a pattern of fear. Long before anyone reads our will, they will have already been receiving an inheritance from us. They inherit our words. They inherit our attitudes. They inherit the atmosphere we create when we enter a room. They inherit what we model about love, forgiveness, money, work, marriage, disappointment, and ultimately, they inherit what we model about God. Some inheritances are measured in dollars, but the most powerful ones are measured in formation. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children." We often hear that verse used in conversations about building wealth, and there's certainly wisdom in preparing responsibly for future generations. But a biblical inheritance is larger than financial assets. You see, you can leave money to someone without leaving them wisdom to manage it. You can leave them property without leaving them the character to care for it. You can give them opportunities without giving them the inner strength to steward those opportunities well. And you can leave people very little financially while still giving them something so valuable that it shapes the rest of their lives and the generations to come. Things like courage, integrity, and faith, a clear sense that they are loved, a picture of what it looks like to trust God when life does not go according to plan. So the question is not only, what will people receive from me when I'm gone? The deeper question is, who will people become because I was here? The Bible gives us a beautiful example of this in the Apostle Paul's second letter to Timothy, where he writes, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which was first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you." That's 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul looks at Timothy, this young leader with a significant calling on his life, and recognizes that his faith did not appear in isolation. It was the result of an inheritance. There was a story behind his story. You see, before Timothy carried the gospel into new places, he watched two women live it out in ordinary places. Before Paul became his mentor, a grandmother and a mother had already been shaping Timothy's soul. Lois passed something to Eunice, and Eunice passed something to young Timothy. And Timothy would even eventually pass this gospel to other faithful people who would also teach others. That is biblical inheritance. One generation placing something valuable into the hands and the hearts of the next. And notice what Paul calls it, sincere faith. Not perfect faith, not impressive faith, sincere faith. That's what was passed on to Timothy. Faith that was genuine enough to be seen at home. Faith that survived ordinary life. Faith that showed up not only in public worship, but in private disappointment, in family tensions, in unanswered prayers, and in daily responsibilities. Timothy did not merely inherit religious information, he inherited a living example that formed him. That may be one of the most important distinctions we can make. People may remember what some of us have taught, but they will be more deeply shaped by what they experience when they are around us and with us. Think about children for a moment. Children know the difference between a faith that is discussed and a faith that is lived. They notice how we speak about people when those people are not in the room. They notice whether prayer is our first response or our final resort. They notice whether grace is something we preach to others or something we actually practice with them. They notice how we behave when we are tired, inconvenienced, disappointed, or wrong. And this is not only about parents and children. Every person has influence. You may be listening today as an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, a neighbor, a coach, an employer, a teacher, a pastor, a friend, or simply the person who consistently takes time to listen. I want you to know today, you are passing something on. Someone is learning from the way you live. Someone is deciding what faith looks like by watching how you carry yours. The inheritance of faith is rarely transferred through one dramatic conversation. It's usually built through repetition. That's why Deuteronomy 6 tells God's people to keep his commands upon their hearts and then impress those commands upon their children. Deuteronomy 6 says, "Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." In other words, pass your faith along through the rhythms of everyday life. At the dinner table, on the road, at bedtime, in the morning, on the drive home from practice with your child. You see, it's not only in the formal moments, but it's in the normal moments where the inheritance is passed. And this means that your inheritance is being built today. It is built in the apology that you offer after losing your patience. It's built when you choose honesty, even though dishonesty would be easier. It is built when someone watches you experience disappointment without surrendering to bitterness. It is built when you pray with someone instead of merely promising to pray for them. It is built when you admit that you do not have every answer, but remain confident in the goodness of God. Sometimes we imagine that leaving a spiritual legacy requires us to be extraordinary. It does not. It just requires us to be faithful. Consider for a moment the people who shaped you most were probably not always standing on a platform. They may have never written a book, led a large organization, or had thousands of people following them, but they were present in our lives. They kept their word. They made us feel seen. They prayed for us. They believed in us before we could see those things in ourselves. What an inheritance. Sometimes these things come to mind, but oftentimes we push them away in an effort to pursue things that will leave us wanting for more. So consider today your life and how it's been influenced and impacted by those around you. Maybe it was a parent or a grandparent whose Bible was worn from use. Maybe it was a teacher who refused to give up on you. Maybe it was a pastor who remembered your name, or a friend who stayed close during a season when other people quietly disappeared. Each of these people have left something in you. And there's a good chance that they may never fully understand how much their life mattered to you. This is one of the mysteries of inheritance. The person making the deposit does not always live long enough to see its full return. Psalm 78 says, "We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done." Then the psalmist explains why. "So that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children." You see, the psalmist imagined a chain of faith extending beyond people who are currently alive. One generation tells the story so that another generation can trust God and then tell that story again and again. You see, that means that our faith was never meant to terminate with us. We are recipients, but we are also stewards. Someone carried the story to us. Someone preserved the scriptures. Someone prayed. Someone served and helped build a church. Someone taught a class. Someone gave sacrificially. Someone invited us. Someone answered our questions when we were full of doubt. They had patience with us. Someone made sure that the story reached us. And now the story is in our hands, and we have to decide what we will do with it. Will the faith that reached us move through us toward others? Will the people coming behind us know only what we accomplished, or will they know that we trusted God? Will they receive our preferences, our opinions, and habits, but remain unclear about the hope that sustained us? Or will they be able to say, "I saw what faith looked like in real life because of this person"? Of course, this can also be painful because not everyone received the inheritance they needed. Some people inherited anxiety, some anger, some patterns of addiction and avoidance, manipulation, or silence. Some grew up in homes where love had to be earned. Some inherited a distorted picture of God because authority was used harshly or religion was used hypocritically. We do not all begin at the same starting line, but the gospel tells us that what was handed to us does not have to be handled through us. In Christ, inherited patterns can be interrupted. A history can influence you without having the final authority over you. You may not be responsible for what was placed in your hands, but with God's help, you can decide what leaves them. You can be the first person in your family to apologize freely, to ask for help, to replace cruelty with kindness, to create a home where people feel safe. The first to handle conflict without threats or withdrawal. The first to say the pattern may have reached me, but it will not continue through me. That also is inheritance. You see, our ultimate inheritance is not something we leave behind when we die. Through Christ, we receive mercy we did not earn, forgiveness we could not purchase, a place in the family of God, and a living hope. An inheritance cannot be lost in a market downturn, destroyed by disaster, taken through theft, or diminished by time. It is something secured for us because Jesus died and rose again. And as that truth settles deeply into us, it changes what we pass on. So how do we begin building the right kind of inheritance? Start today by deciding what you want to be remembered for, not just your resume, your possessions, or your achievements. What do you want the people closest to you to say was consistently true about you? That you were generous, that you were present, that you were courageous, that you loved Jesus, that you made room for people. Your inheritance is being formed in conversations that seem insignificant today, but in the ways that we respond, in the priorities reflected in our calendar, and what receives our attention shows what we truly value. And perhaps there's a conversation you need to have. Maybe someone needs to hear the story of God's faithfulness in your life. Not a polished testimony, just the truth. Don't assume the people around you already know. Say it, write it down, pray it over them, place it into their hands while you still can. There is an old practice in many families of passing down a treasured object, a watch, a Bible, a recipe, piece of jewelry, a tool that belonged to a father or grandfather. That object may not carry enormous financial value, but it carries a story. You hold it and realize someone held this for me. The wear on it came from their hands. The notes in the margins came from their seasons of life, and now it's entrusted to me. It bears the fingerprints of those who carried it before us, but it cannot remain safely displayed on a shelf. It must be practiced, lived, and eventually placed into someone else's hands. One day, all of us will leave behind unfinished tasks, possessions we no longer need, and plans someone else will have to complete. But we can also leave courage in another person's heart. We can leave words they will still hear when they face a difficult decision. We can leave prayers that continue bearing fruit long after we're gone. And we can leave an inheritance of faith. So may we receive with gratitude the inheritance Christ has secured for us. May we have the courage to interpret what is destructive, the wisdom to cultivate what is good, and the faithfulness to pass the story of God from one generation to the next. And when the people we love look back upon our lives, may they remember more than we owned or accomplished. May they be able to say, because you were here, I understood grace more clearly. Because you were here, I learned how to keep going even when I wanted to quit. Because you were here, I knew I was loved. And because you were here, I learned to trust God. That is an inheritance worth leaving. Amen.
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us on Wise Shepherds. I hope that our message has provided you with a new perspective, some helpful guidance, and encouragement for your own spiritual journey. Remember, as we read in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Join us again next time as we continue to seek biblical wisdom and grow in our faith together. Until then, may God bless you and keep you. I'm your host, Teresa, and this has been Wise Shepherds on KBright Radio.